coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
It's about time for the coffee break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. Da-da-da-da. Welcome to the coffee break with us this evening at this very awesome, most auspicious occasion, Yusuf. Now, I must just do a disclaimer before we get into tonight's coffee break. First, I must mention two things. One is that our neighbors across the way, not even in the same complex as us, but across the way, way yonder hill, they are listening to the free Andrea Bocelli concert happening right now. Now listen, you want to be here at the coffee break. Don't now go off because I told you Andrea Bocelli is singing live for free and they are listening to it really loud with all their doors open. I think they want the whole neighborhood to enjoy the concert. So if you hear any opera singing, it is not us. It is not anyone in my building. It is there. So, but anyway, the music is wonderful. Secondly, please, we have noticed that there is a problem with my microphone and we actually spent the whole week trying to sort out the problem. We are assured that the problem is now sorted out. However, if I do sound a bit robotic, then you need to please send a message onto the chat and say, Aaliyah is now the Terminator. Please, you know, something is happening because I can't hear myself, so I'm relying on a wonderful audience to let me know what is going on. So if I sound weird, you can say it, it's all right. But this is my normal sounding voice. It's just if I sound a bit robotic, then please say, hey, there's something wrong with your sound. If not, tell me it sounds great. You're very, very excited about this evening. And so are we. Because we know that it is Passover. We pray that you had a great Pesach celebration this week and that it was wonderful. You know what? If you're one of those Enoch people and you had it last month, well, that's cool. You know, we had it this week. And so we enjoyed our matzah and our herbies. We had, you know, the bitter herbs. I don't even know what we had, but we enjoyed it. And it was just the two of us, Yusuf, and that is different. We have not had a solitary Passover like this in years. You know, we miss being with everybody, but it was also very blessed. You know, Abba Father really meets us where we are. And while we were sitting around the table, we were also thinking of the very many people that we normally, you know, have our Pesach celebrations with. So I know, Yusuf, it was quite funny because we were sitting there and we were saying, oh, cheers, Davi. Oh, cheers, Wim Joe. We were just cheersing everybody because we were thinking of all of you. We were together Pesach a year ago. And so we were thinking of all of you guys close to our hearts, close to our memories, even though far in distance makes no matter. So we had a wonderful Pesach celebration. And tonight is, well, you know, tonight we've really gone out of it. But today, you know, we are in America time now. We are still in first fruits.
That's right.
And so we are celebrating first fruits. Yusuf, a big shalom, shout out, you know, fist bump to you tonight. How are you doing?
Fist bump back.
Fist bump.
Yeah, I'm doing good. So I'm excited. Today, as Aaliyah said, as we go out of today here in South Africa, we have just ended first fruits, but for those of you that are in the States, you are still in it. And this evening I want to talk about specifically first fruits and also about the importance of what this day means to us. You know, Aaliyah, I think that this year, Passover and the festival of Passover, unleavened bread and first fruits is very, very significant because it actually falls exactly the same way that it would have been when Yeshua died and when he resurrected. So we have it exactly the same as it would have been then. And I think that's what so many people don't always fully understand because, you know, when we were in the church, we were told, well, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but we can't get 3 days and three nights into that whole idea. So we know that when Passover started this week, that it would have been exactly the same as how it was when Yeshua died. And today, well, basically, not for us, but you know, today, meaning Sunday, if I have to put it that way, when it started, according to the Hebrew calendar, which was actually Saturday night at 6 p.m. or when the sun set, that was the time of first fruits. That was the time where Yeshua rose from the grave and where he ascended to be with the Father. And that's what I want to speak to us about tonight. That's what I want us to touch on. And the importance of first fruit. I think it's a festival that many people overlook. It's a festival that not many people always understand. Many people who come out of the church, they don't fully always understand or even keep it. And also, I want to say something before we pray. You know, there is so much that you see on social media and so much that you see, you know, of people around that are still celebrating, you know, Easter and how bad Easter actually is. You know, Easter and Halloween and Christmas, all those festivals that people hold on to are not found in the Word. And I know that many of you listening to this, you know this, but it's important that we understand it and that we make a stand and tell people, listen, brother, sister, you know, what you're celebrating has absolutely no eternal reward. It has absolutely no significance to the God that you serve. It has nothing to do with who he is and his character. And we need to tell people that. And oftentimes, people will get angry with us, but it's the manner in which we tell them. If we're going to just tell them, listen, Easter's wrong, and you're not going to show them the other side of the coin and tell them about Passover and the importance of it and how those things all fit together, instead of celebrating, you know, these pagan festivals to fertility goddesses, then it's kind of pointless.
You know what started to happen that I've also noticed, though, Yosef? It's people are coming to the knowledge of the truth. And the thing about this is that Yahweh's truth is going out. And I'm seeing it, you know, among people who, you know, aren't into the truth yet, aren't into the Torah. They're not awakened to the reality that these things are bad. But I've started to notice is that, you know, Abba Father, you know, the Spirit is on the move and has been sharing with people, and people are coming to this knowledge and truth. But then what they do is they say, Happy Passover, Jesus has risen, here's an Easter egg. And then you're like, wow, that's so bizarre. You know, that's like a mixture of a dog with a cat and a zebra. It's like so weird. And so it's weird because people come to the knowledge of the truth, but yet don't lay down the old to pick up the new. And it's kind of like assimilating their faith. It's exactly what Israel did and why they went into, you know, captivity, for assimilating all the things, becoming this whole pluralistic culture.
But don't you think it's exactly the same thing as what we do as believers during the time of Christmas, where we know that Christmas isn't right, but then we have so many people during that time that email us and they say to us, well, you know, is it wrong then for me to go, I'm not celebrating Christmas, but I'm just going to go partake of a meal with my family, you know, and then they ask that question. But it's the same thing. The meal and everything that goes around it is still wrong. You cannot go and partake in something that's defiled. The whole celebration and everything around it is defiled. It's the same as now. We shouldn't be partaking in Easter, and we should be partaking in Passover and the symbols of Passover, not mixing the symbols of Yahweh's truth with that of error and that of, you know, of falsehood and false gods. It's so, so important that we understand that. And we cannot now more than ever, especially in this generation that we find ourselves in, Aliyah, be mixing truth with error. We cannot be doing that. And we have to show the people the truth in love. And just like Jude says, showing the truth in love, hating the garment that's defiled by the flesh. In other words, make sure that you know your stuff before you go and tell somebody the truth, because if you don't know your stuff, you could fall into a trap. And that's what Jude tells us. He says, you know, be careful about the brother that's stumbling. If you are not grounded fully and you go and tell another person the truth, they are going to react in ways that can set you back if you don't know who you are. So Jude tells us, be careful of that.
And I like there what Colleen shared on the chat, because I think that sometimes is probably all of us. Right at the beginning, I know, Yosef, for myself, the first 2 to 3 years, I remember being young and coming into the Torah when I was 17, and my parents, you know, still living at home and everything, my parents saying, you know, it's Christmas. And we know, my parents brought us all up to know, my brother and I, to know that Christmas was pagan. My father told me that when I was 5. He said that, you know, it's pagan and it's wrong, and Jesus wasn't born in this time. And I think I've shared this on the coffee break before. He knew all that because he was getting involved with Jehovah's Witness people, but he brought that kind of truth out, saying Christmas is wrong, Easter is wrong, blah, blah, blah. But yet they still wanted to have the meal. The meal seemed to be something that they couldn't let go of. And so there was that pressure on me every time, you know, December 25th rolled over. It was like, Aaliyah, you have to join us for the meal. And I think the first 2 to 3 years, I was very like, I don't want to do this, guys. I don't want to be here. But I did it to kind of, you know, staying at home and just trying to, you know, smooth everything over. And eventually I know that Yahweh said to me, you know, who are you going to obey? Are you going to obey me, or are you going to obey them? Now, that's something that's not going to go down very well with people, what I'm saying, but that is personal revelation. Doesn't mean it applies to you, but it was personal revelation that Yahweh gave to me, saying, you know, my father used to sometimes try and twist my arm to go and buy him cigarettes on the Shabbat. And I would say, no, firstly, I don't buy drugs. And secondly, I'm not breaking the Sabbath. Mm. And it was a case of, I need to obey Yahweh. And it did get a bit hectic. And I think for everybody, I remember the first December that you and I went to meet, I went to meet your family for the first time in the UK. And, you know, your dad pastoring a church as well. And then us being there, and it was like, we need to be together during this time. And it just gets hectic. But, you know, thankfully, our parents do know the truth, and our families do understand this, and you know, you kind of get out of that. And so, but I know it is hard, Yosef. I know for people as well that are married sometimes to a wife or a husband who is still celebrating Christmas or Easter, it gets very, very hard. And I really pray Yahweh's, you know, intervention and grace and wisdom in those situations and circumstances, because I think as human beings, we are so in a mix of everything. And it's hard when you get to these pagan feasts. It kind of turns your stomach, you know, you don't want to be celebrating these things, and we shouldn't be forced to. And then I used to say to my parents, okay, are you going to come with me to do Passover, you know? And they would flat out say, well, no. And I would say, well, then, you see, I have to compromise for you. But you actually know that you wouldn't compromise for someone else. And that's where the boundary line comes in. And so, Yosef, I know that you want to open up in a bit of prayer for us tonight. Let's do that. Why don't you do that?
Father, we want to thank you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Father, for this wonderful, special time that we have. Thank you, Father, that this is the day that you have made. Thank you, Father, that this is the time, Father, where Yeshua died and he rose again so that we might be reconciled to you, so that we can take on that image, Father, that was marred in the garden again, so that we can be restored, Father, to a right relationship with you. And Father, I want to pray in the name of Yeshua that as we spend time around your word tonight, as we just discuss, Father, this great day and this time, Father, and the season that we find ourselves in, Father, that we will truly have understanding, that we will really understand what first fruits is really about in a spiritual sense, Father, not only in the physical, but also the spiritual, Father, and how important it is that we understand that Yeshua became the first fruits of many. But Father, what does that mean for us today? And I pray, Father, that we will have, as I always say, the eyes to see and ears to hear. May we understand, but may it become part of us, and may we live it out. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Aaliyah, I was reading the scriptures, and you know, in Mark, we read about the story where the woman went to the tomb, and we read about it in Mark chapter 16, and it says this, it talks about the resurrection, and it says this, it says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary of the mother James and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Yeshua's body. Very early on Sunday morning. Now, you see, it tells us very early on Sunday morning, and we think immediately, okay, so it's Sunday today, but in actual fact, it's the first day of the week, and the sun had now set. Yeshua had now risen already at the end of the Shabbat. He had risen, and he's now waiting. Remember, they come to the tomb, and Yeshua is there. And later on in the story, we read about where she sees him. And she
isn't
said,
that just in that translation that it says Sunday?
Yes, I was
what,
going.
What
yes.
verse is that?
It's in Mark chapter 16 and verse 1.
Oh, you see, because in this Bible, it's the Tree of Life version. It actually says very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen.
Yes.
But now, why does it say the sun has risen? Because it's also incorrect, because Yeshua rose at Havdalah, which is when the sun had actually set.
That's right.
You see, they're messing us around.
So I think I mentioned this before, especially with Mark chapter 16. It's important to understand. Mark chapter 16 starts and it reads in such a way to promote, you know, a Sunday resurrection, to promote this whole idea that the church has held on to, that, you know, Sunday is the day of worship. And I think I mentioned to many of you before that later on in Mark chapter 16, if you read from verse 9 and you go on to the end, some translations will say, this translation says short ending of Mark, and then in verse 9, it says longer ending of Mark. Mm. And if you're a good scholar, then you'll know and you'll go read the footnote and you'll come to see that Mark chapter 9, or Mark chapter 16 from verse 9 onwards, is a later addition to the original manuscript. So somewhere along the line, somebody inserted a part into this chapter to make the person who's reading it, you and I, believe that Yeshua actually didn't rise, or he didn't rise from the grave as we know it Saturday evening, but on Sunday morning when the sun came up. And it's very, very dangerous. So you need to understand that. Most translations, if you have your Bible with you, will tell you at the bottom, this part of this manuscript is a later edition and did not appear in the original. So that's very, very important. And if we just studied that and we actually looked at the word, then we'd begin to question and ask ourselves, okay, so now how, as I said before, do we get 3 days and three nights? So it's important for us to know that. That's good ammunition to have when somebody's asking you about these questions. But you know, Elia, there's this part of scripture where we know, where Yeshua says, he says, she comes to him and she says to him, she's about to touch his garment. And Yeshua says, don't touch me. Why? Because I have not yet ascended to my Father. And that's a very, very important part of scripture that many people don't understand. Yeshua had not yet ascended to his Father. He had not yet gone to his Father and presented himself as the first fruit offering. And we know that Yeshua does that, and then later he returns and he appears to his disciples and he tells them who he is. They don't know, remember, who he is, and they're filled with fear. But as they get to know and see the scars in his hands and on his side, they get to realize that it's Yeshua. Now, the question I want to ask you this evening is, why is that so important to our understanding about first fruits? We need to understand that Yeshua has to go and present himself as the first fruits to his Father. He gets a glorified body, a changed status, and he comes back to earth to speak to his disciples. And I want to share with you this evening where we find this festival of first fruits. And it's important to understand where it comes from. It's not a festival that was celebrated until the time that they went into the promised land. They weren't celebrating this in the wilderness. The reason for that was why? Because they had the manna that was falling out of heaven. So they didn't have produce that they could take from the produce and then present an offering to Yahweh. There wasn't that. They were eating of the manna. So it says in Numbers chapter 28 and verse 6, is where we read about it. And I want to read it to you in Numbers chapter 28 and verse 6, if we go there.
If we turn to our Bibles right now, I know that the PowerPoint's, you know, at the back of the congregation, the guy isn't manning the computer tonight, so we have to manually turn, you know, but this is a good test to see who is bringing their Bible here tonight. We see you there, and don't pretend that if you're on your cell phone right now, you're reading the Bible. We know you on. You're on Facebook.
So it says, at the festival of harvest, when you present the first of your new grain to Yahweh, you must call an official day for the holy assembly, and you may do no ordinary work on that day. Present a special burnt offering on the day as a pleasing aroma to Yahweh. It will consist of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old lambs. These will be accompanied by grain offerings of choice flour moistened with oil, and 6 quarters of each bull, 4 quarters with a ram, and 2 quarters. And then it goes on and it explains it. Now, what's important, Elia, for us to understand is that when does this day, and we've said this before, when does this day actually fall? Because when you read about it in the scriptures, it's very, very confusing. So many people get so confused about when do we actually celebrate the festival of first fruits. And the scriptures tell us that it's always after the what? The weekly or the Passover. So it's the Shabbat that falls in the same time period, the same week after Passover. So if Passover was on Wednesday, then it would be obviously when? After the Shabbat would be the Sunday, the first day or the first Sunday after the weekly Sabbath. So many people get this wrong, and they either do it much later or at a totally different time. And it's important that we understand this. I know it gets confusing. I even still, after doing it for so many years, it gets confusing sometimes to explain it to people. So it's always the Sunday after the first weekly Sabbath. So if Passover falls on a Thursday, then you'll wait for that week Sabbath, which is now, and then you will celebrate it. So it always falls on a Sunday. All right, always.
Because I know that with the Jewish people, they start immediately after Passover, and it's the first day of unleavened bread. It's the first day where they put it as well. And then they start counting the Omer, and then they start counting towards Shavuot.
That's right.
And they do that immediately. So this week they would have started that on Thursday. They would have started it on Thursday. And so that now doesn't fall. So we're counting the Omer differently to them, and we're counting Shavuot differently. And a lot of people fall into that tradition because that's the way the Jewish people have understood it, because the rabbis have interpreted it to mean that this after the Sabbath, meaning after the first day of unleavened bread, they interpret it to mean that that's when they need to do it. But we interpret it as it is in the scriptures, and many biblical scholars who have gone into this would say, no, it's after the weekly Sabbath. And so I think it was last year, Yosef, or the year before, there was one year where Pesach actually fell on the first day of the week, that actually fell on Sunday. And so we were all sitting with that dilemma of, well, Passover is now on Sunday, so when do we actually, you know, celebrate first fruits? When do we start counting the Omer? We had to wait a full week until the next week Sunday to start that count. And I remember that because it was quite confusing. So we were like a week different to the way the Jewish people were counting. And so today as well, obviously last night today, you know, would have been the first of the count of Shavuot. And then tonight, obviously, the second of the count of Shavuot. And again, that's very important because now we are leading up to Shavuot, which is when the Spirit will be poured out upon us. Hopefully at that time, you know, lockdown, quarantines and things will be over, and we will be, you know, well on our way, because this is a time where you want to be fellowshipping together. That is the time where you want to be in a place where, you know, the Spirit can freely move. And I know that that will probably fall about the 30th of May or the 1st of June. And so it's really important. These are special days, special times. We're in a special season. It's a season of Passover. It's a season of deliverance. It's a season of presenting our first fruits. And I think, Yosef, it's important with first fruits. This was really a time where, when Israel did go into the promised land, just like you said, you know, they had these, you know, what was so beautiful to me is that, you know, Yahweh took them into the promised land, and think about it. They just walked in, and obviously they had to conquer the nations that were there, and there were many bloody battles and really bad things that obviously, you know, killing people, it's not really what you want to do, but what they were doing. And then they took over that person's house. They had fields, they had vineyards, all these things. And that's what Yahweh said to him: I'm going to give you things you didn't work for. You didn't till the ground here. You didn't build this place. These are things that I'm giving you, you know. And they took those things, but then they had to present a part of that field and that fruit harvest and everything. They had to present that at the temple as saying, Yahweh, thank you for what we have received. And that's the big thing about first fruits as well, that we don't really even think about today. We're supposed to present a first fruit offering, all of us, to Yahweh and say, you know what, thank you, Yahweh, for what I have, and I'm going to present this thing to you. And it's a beautiful representation of a reminder that everything that we have, you know, belongs to Yahweh, and everything that we can enjoy really, really belongs to Him.
Amen. You know, Leah, before we go to a song, I just want to mention, and, you know, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about, you know, the different harvests that Yahweh has. And it's important for us to understand those harvests, because as the physical harvest would take place in Israel, so Yahweh shows us spiritual harvests and spiritual things through these things. And many of us, you know, we've heard many stories. We talk about barley harvest, we talk about the wheat harvest, and we talk about, you know, the grape harvest. But do we really understand what these things mean in light of us as believers? Because as believers in Messiah Yeshua, we are going to fall into one of those categories. And not only believers, as people upon this earth, as humanity, if I have to put it that way, you are going to fall into one of those categories. You're either going to choose to countercast and be a barley harvest person, a barley, harvest or wheat, put it that way. You're either going to be barley or you're going to be wheat or you're going to land up being grapes. And I want to talk about that when we come back. Because as Yahweh's, as his seasons took place and as they would present a first fruit of this barley, it's significant for us to understand what does that mean for us. And the Bible tells us continually, it says that, as I said in the beginning, it says that Yeshua was the first fruit among many. And we read later in the book of Revelation, it talks to us about, the 144,000, that they are a type of first fruit too, that will be presented to the Father. So there is this picture of first fruits as people being presented to the Father. And not only, the barley that we saw on the earth and the crops that were grown, but as people who have matured, as people who are doing things with their life, we fall into one of these categories. We're either going to land up being barley harvest people, or we're going to land up being wheat harvest, or at the end of days, you're going to land up being a grape harvest. And the scriptures tell us in the book of Isaiah that it is Yeshua that comes with his garments, and he treads the winepress in his wrath. And he treads upon those grapes, and his garments are stained with those grapes on him. And we need to understand what that means. So judgment will either be upon you, or you're going to go to be with him. And you're going to go as that first harvest, or you're going to go as the second one or the last one. So let's go to a song, and when we come back, we'll look at that.
That's going to be good. Well, you know what? We wanted to play some upbeat music tonight. Some really, praise music, some really powerful, get you amped kind of music. And so we're going to be playing our first song called Let It Rain by David Crowder and Mandisa. Enjoy the song and don't go anywhere. See you when we get back.
Rain down.
amazing song. I love that song, Yusuf. Didn't you enjoy that song?
I really did.
You know, that's the first time you've heard that song.
That's true, but
did
I
you like it?
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. Let It Rain by David Crider and Mandisa there. It was such a good song. Welcome back to the coffee break. And we're talking about first fruits. And also now Yusuf is going to be telling us about the different harvests and where you can be and how this applies to your life and why we need to be serious about our salvation. You know, we need to enjoy our salvation and our walk with Yeshua. But it is, as we always say, a walk of sanctification, and we need to be made holy, not doing that whole mixing thing where we like sitting on Passover saying happy Passover with a basket of Easter eggs and we're doing all crazy things, right? No mixing, getting into the holiness, getting into knowing, you know, what Yahweh has for us and who we can be in these final generation, in these final days. Because Yusuf, you know, the harvests aren't set. You can be a barley, you can be a wheat, you can be a grape, but it all comes down to your own personal choice and how you're going to walk with Yeshua. So tell us more about it.
You know, Leah, these festivals of Yahweh are all so prophetic, if we really seek Him out and we ask Him to reveal it to us. And I think that as we grow with the Father, as we mature with Him, I think Passover, Shavuot, First Fruits, all these festivals take on new meaning as we begin to grow more with Him. You know, in the beginning when we celebrate it, it's about, you know, for example, Passover is about our deliverance. But as we grow with Him more, we begin to see how the covenants and how His plan of redemption and His plan for eternity falls into all these things. So it's kind of like we enter in just the same as you did when you just got saved. You entered in, but you began to learn more about, you know, your faith, and you began to understand more. The same applies as we begin to learn more about the festivals and about Yahweh's word. It's very prophetic, and Yahweh's times and seasons have been set in motion from the beginning of the earth right up until the time that Yeshua is going to return a second time. So they're always bringing new kind of meat to the bone for us, and it's important that we understand these things and then we align ourselves up with Yahweh's plan. So on this specific time or on this day, they would go, and that's why, you know, Passover is marked by the sighting of the barley. It's marked, we see, you know, the ripe barley, and it's important for us to see that because it's got to do with this first fruit. It's all about the barley. So it's not the whole harvest that's ripe. It's just some of the harvest that's ripe. So as soon as they would see the heads of barley that was there, and it wouldn't be on all the crops, it would be on some of the crops, they would then go and they would cut that and they would bring it, and then they would present it and tie something around it, and it would be as a representation that it's now getting time for this harvest to be ripe. It's now time for it almost to be ready. So these were the first of the harvest that had now matured, that had now come to a right place. And this is important for us to actually understand this, because what Yeshua tells us is He said very clearly to His disciples, He came for to seek and save the lost, but the world rejected Him. And because they rejected Him, Yeshua then trains up. He trains up His disciples in the hope that what? Do you remember that He's walking with them right there in Samaria, and He sees the fields and they're busy picking. They're busy picking the crops, and He tells them that the harvest, we've spoken about this, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So He was talking to His 12 disciples, those that were as a representation, so to say, barley. They were the first of His disciples, the first of those to receive Him, to understand that this was the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. They were the first fruits that He had now taken, and He was going to present them as well to the Father, as in a way, He presents Himself to the Father, but He says to His Father, those that You've given Me, I give back to You. And it's important that we understand this. So His disciples are basically a representation of that barley harvest, of the first of those that listen to the message, hear the message, understand the message, and they begin to run with the message. And it's important for us to put this into our understanding, because this harvest or this time that we are busy with now comes first. Then we count the Omer, and then we have what? Shavuot, where the infilling of the Ruach takes place, so that what? The body of Messiah Yeshua, the entire body, can become a witness out there. The disciples received the Spirit so that they could do what? Go out and proclaim the gospel message so that the greater harvest could come in, which is a representation, Eliyah, of the wheat harvest. It's a greater harvest. It's bigger. Everything is maturing. But there has to be a first harvest of barley, which is a representation I see it as almost a remnant of Yahweh, a people that Yahweh has called. That's why the representation that we find in the scriptures of the 144,000 is a first fruit. Why? Because they have been set aside from all the 12 tribes of Israel. And on this day, the priest would take two loaves and he would present them to Yahweh as an offering, and he would wave those loaves to the Father. And when we go and we understand what that actually means, it's the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim, it's united, being presented to the Father as a united front. We need to understand this, because the 144,000 are not made from one tribe. They're also not virgins in the sense of all females. That's not what it means. To be a virgin in the scriptures means that you have not been defiled by the spirit of the age, that you are not defiled by the things of the age. So these 144,000 is like the 12 disciples that were set aside by Yahweh to do a great work in order to bring the greater harvest in. And we need to understand that, because we have a choice now in this generation whether we want to be wheat and do nothing with our salvation, as we've always said, or whether you want to take what Yeshua says to you every single festival, apply it to your life and say to yourself, you know what, I want to be a barley harvest person. I want to be ready every single time. When Yeshua looks at me, I want to be ready. I don't want to be mulling around in the world anymore. I don't want to be stressed out by the things of this world. I want to be busy with my Father's business. That's what it's about. Whereas the others are there, they saved. They might even be keeping the Torah, but they are not in the Davidic covenant. They are not willing to move into the deeper understanding of what that actually means. Living in the realm of sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, as we've said before, and I've said it so many times in all the teachings, sons and daughters of the house of the Father were found in the field of the Father in the daytime. They were found working the field of the Father. Just as the hired hands were working, so were the children. They were all working the field. It was only at dinner time that you would know the difference between who was working as a worker and who was the children of that person's house, because they would be sitting at a different dinner table. They would be sitting at the table of their Father. And that's how we're supposed to be, being busy with our Father's work, being doing the work that the Father's called us to do. So tonight, what I want to say to you is are you going to be those who are going to prepare your life and prepare your heart and prepare your spirit so that you can be part of this first harvest? Or are you going to be one of those that just says to himself, well, you know what, I'm going to make it through by the skin of my chin? Are you going to be part of that next harvest? Or are you going to be one that falls away from the faith and in the end lands up being a grape harvest person that Yeshua has to come and trod under his feet? And he says clearly in his word, I said this before, Yeshua, he rewards us. Every single human being on this planet is going to be rewarded. You're either rewarded for the good works that you do or the bad works that you do. Every person on this planet gets rewarded for what they do. You're either going to go to eternal life and have a crown of eternal life, or you're going to go to eternal damnation and eternal torment, the scriptures say, for the rest of your life because of what you did. So there is no half ground saying, well, I can build in between. You're either building your life for eternity, and that's why, like you said earlier, at this time they would come and present their first fruits, that which the Father had given them, and they understood that it was him who gave them the promised land. Nothing in their own efforts achieved that. Yes, they went to war. They did the things that they needed to do, but it was because of Yahweh's grace. He said to Abraham that I will give to your descendants this land. I will give the promised land to them and that they will inherit this land. And it wasn't because of anything that they did. It was because Yahweh destined it to be so. So if Yahweh destines tonight, as you're listening to this coffee break, for you to partake of the things that he's given you, then we need to, as a people, be willing to give back. So on first fruits, it's about what are we going to give back? Some of us are able to give back of our finances. For some of us, maybe we don't have finances. So we have to ask the Father, what is our first fruit that we can offer? And it has to be an offering made unto Yahweh. Our life, everything that we do has to be a presentation to the Father. It's important that we understand that.
Mm. Absolutely. And you know what? I think that that's so important because all of us have giftings. All of us have talents. All of us have things in our lives that maybe we have and we can present to the Father. But you know what? Even, you know, Yusuf, I think even in the area of our giftings, for example, say, you know, we have a gift that we are using and Yahweh is growing in our lives and we're using that, we can present all the work that we have done in that area, in that, you know, sphere. We can take it and we can present it to the Father and say, you know what, this is my first fruit offering, all the things that I've enjoyed, all the successes that I've enjoyed here, all the fruit that I've eaten of this. Everything that I've done, I present it back to you. And the thing about presenting an offering to Yahweh and something that we are not often taught is that, you know, when we present something to our Father, it's not presenting it and then it burns up in a flame and then it's taken away. We present it as almost this thing of gratitude, of this real, it really needs to accompany that gratitude. And that's why it says in Yahweh's word that he loves a cheerful giver. And it's not just about, you know, of giving of physical things. It's from within us. Everything that we give him, he wants it to be cheerful. And even so with our refining, and it's something we talk about a lot, you know, being refined and being purified and being worked on inside of us. It actually should be a joyful process. Yes, it is hard and it is tough, you know, sometimes when we go through this refinement, but it can come down to being grateful and having gratitude that Yahweh is working on you because of his love for you. He's not going to leave you a broken wreck, and he's not going to leave you even with a little bit of brokenness. He wants to heal all those places. And you know, when we open up to him, you know, he just comes in and he deals with all those things. So I think that everything that we have, whether it be our giftings, if it's our work, if it's an area that we've, you know, achieved a lot in, or wherever it may be, we can present it to him, not so that he takes it away from us or that it just burns up, you know, on the altar, but so that it becomes a sweet fragrance and kind of a connector that we have with Abba Father. And I think that that's what makes first fruits so beautiful, is that it's really a time. I see first fruits as a very personal time. It's very much, yes, it had to do with the congregation. It had to do collectively that every family had to present their offering, but it was very deeply personal. It became personal, and was so personal because he walked with these 12 disciples. And I will take it a step further and say, you know, when we talk about the barley and how you spoke about, you know, they used to tie a string around the ones that were ripened and the other ones they would leave. I'll go a step further and say, whenever you see Yeshua, he's only with the three. He's only with John, James, and Peter. You know, even though he had 12, he had an inner circle, and he was always with the three of them. And you know, when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took the three of them. You know, he everywhere where he goes, he handpicked three. And I think that's because it's kind of maybe like our lives today as human beings, is that, you know, I always say to people, I can count my good friends on less than one hand, because you keep your very closest friends deeply close to you. And I think that Yeshua was kind of marking John, James, and Peter out from the 12. Even though he had the 12 and he presented them before the Father and they did amazing things, even throughout the book of Acts, you will hear about John and James and Peter. And of course, we know that James was the first martyr, the first one of the disciples to be killed for their faith. And that must have been quite hard because, of course, he was John's brother. But you know what? They were kind of marked out as that first body. And it was definitely, you know, because I believe those three had completely committed their lives to Abba Father. And that's why we hear about the wonderful things that they did. And so we can be part of that today. We can be those ones that are first marked. Yeah. We can be, you know, people that are living with that string around us and Abba Father being able to tie that around us and saying, these ones, they have matured. These ones are maturing. These ones are going to be mature at that time, you know, where, you know, things are going to get really bad upon the earth. And so it really is a choice, Yosef. I think, yes, you know, the Bible also talks about destiny. You know, some, he's predestined to be what they are called to be. The 144,000, I believe, are chosen, but they still have to choose. And that's the big thing, is that I believe that Yahweh has that mark, and he says that these ones are chosen to be part of that group, but they still have to choose to be part of that group. We have a free will, and Yahweh's given that to us. And I think it's a powerful message because it's very personal on this first fruits, that who do you want to be? And it's not a sad message. It's not like, hey, you got so much sin in your life, who do you want to be? You know, it's really a thing of saying, Well, yeah, we help me be that. And not for selfish reasons, yes. To be like on top and authoritative and I'm one of those guys, you know. But it's a very much a thing of saying, Yahweh, what is it that you have for me? And may I reach my destiny? May I choose the right way?
You know, Leah, you said about our destiny and it's not about being, you know, the one that's seen or the one that's on top. And it's important for us to understand, like I said, after this festival, we count the Omer and then we are filled, you know, or we come to a point where it's Shavuot, where we are desiring to be filled with the Spirit. And again, Aaliyah, it's got to do with those who come hungry, those who come willing, those who come letting go of the things that they hold on to. And it's important to understand, like you said, if we choose and we desire to lay our lives down and be counted as part of this barley harvest, then we need to understand that our will has to line up with the will of Messiah Yeshua. It's not about us, it's about Him. It's about His will. And in this generation that we find ourselves in, the will of the Father is to get the harvest in. The will of the Father from the very beginning with Yeshua being on the earth was to have His disciples raised up so that they could carry on the message that was given to Yeshua by His Father from the very beginning. So that's the same that applies now. Yeshua is looking for those who are part of that barley harvest who are saying, Yeshua, here I am. I lay my life down as you did so that others can get to know the truth, so that the full harvest that is meant to be there, the great multitude that we see in the scriptures, that they can come in. And how do they come in? As Paul says, how will they hear the truth if no one preaches? How will they hear this message if no one goes? How will they understand if we are not sending people out into the mission field and to do the works that Yeshua said would be done in this greater and last generation? This is important to understand, Leah. And that's how these festivals line up. So it's important because so many people come to the festivals and they'll come again, like we said, to Shavuot, but they'll come with baggage because they're never made right now at Passover. And then they go through this counting of the Omer and it becomes just a religious thing that they do because they know that the Torah tells them to do it, but their hearts are never changing. So every single year that we go through these things, when we get to Shavuot, we only get a measure of Yahweh's Spirit and not the fullness, because Yahweh can only give to you as much as there is space to be given. So in other words, if you are holding on to things in your life that is like sand in a glass, it's only going to be filled up as much as that glass can take. So we need to ask Him to get rid of all the gunk that we find in our lives so that we can be filled to full measure. It's so important. And I pray now that not only will you understand what this day is about, but as we have now celebrated Passover and it falls on exactly the same time as it was with Yeshua, we can be so filled with joy that Yeshua rose from the grave. He became the fulfillment of so many things on this specific time period that we are alive. And here's just a few. He became the firstborn of the Father, as Hebrews 1:6 says. He became the firstborn of every creature, Colossians 1:15. He became the firstborn from the dead. And Aaliyah, that's what separates our faith from all the other faiths. One day, if we continue to obey, if we continue to walk out our faith with fear and trembling, and we continue to conform to His image, one day we will also be resurrected. We will have a glorified body. There will no longer be sin. There will no longer be death as we know it today. And we will be with Him in a way that we have never experienced before. And we will see Him, as the scripture says, beholding Him face to face. It blows my mind. And Yeshua made it possible for us to be able to experience that. And then He also became the firstborn of many brethren, which speaks about the fact of us. He became the first and the last, or the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. Yeshua has taken on the role of the firstborn and the first fruit. He is the first fruit, and He does not serve in a temple made with hands. He serves in the heavenly sanctuary. He presented His life as this barley. He presented Himself to the Father, and that's why she couldn't touch Him, because if she did that, she would have contaminated Him. And that's important to understand. He had to ascend to the Father in the state that He was and present Himself like that.
Amen. It's so beautiful, really, isn't it? And it's something that we really missed for so many years as people, you know, just sitting in a church building or something, and you don't hear about this. You don't realize that he is the first fruit. You don't understand. You read that scripture, she can't touch him, and this is happening, and blah 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 blah. But what's happening here? And it's just so absolutely incredible what's happening, because, you know what, we never really understood that. Now we really understand it, and it's so beautiful. You know what, Yosef, I want us to go to our final song of the evening. And again, we want to bless you with this song, because this is a beautiful time. First fruits is beautiful. Passover season is beautiful. And you know what? It's a time where we want to be joyful, isn't it? But we also know that the world is a bit of a change place right now, and it's a bit of a crazy place right now. So we're going to proclaim this song tonight called Impossible Things by Chris Tomlin, that Abba Father can do impossible things. Amen. Not so? Amen. And he can change everything that is happening in our world right now for everybody, if just, you know, they will recognize who Messiah is. And so we're going to play this song. You have a few minutes to put down any prayer requests, if you have any. And then when we get back, we're going to pray together. And let us just really trust Abba Father tonight to do something so amazing in our hearts and lives during the season. I don't want to go through the season just being here. We really can go through the season being people who will be totally changed by him. So enjoy the song. Again, put down some prayer requests. You have just about 4 or 5 minutes to do that. And let's pray together when we get back.
You healed a broken hearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden.
You do.
Father, we just want to say thank you so much this evening that even as that song said, that Abba Father, you do impossible things, things that seem impossible for us or with us. Abba Father, you do so many things that's just impossible. And tonight, Father, we just want to lift Jody up to you, and just as a family and as just believers right now, we want to lift her up to you, Father, and just agree, Abba Father, that you can do the impossible, Father, that you can help her heal and overcome and have victory over the social anxiety that she feels. Abba Father, tonight I pray that you will minister to her heart, that Abba Father, you will minister to her spirit and help her know, Abba Father, when this started, what the root of this is, Father, and how you can just go into that place and just bring healing, Father. I just really pray for a blessing over her life, Father. I pray for a blessing over her and her family, that you will bring every one of her family members in that still doesn't know you, Abba Father. I also pray a blessing over her baby, Father, that was just born just the other day, that you will bless little Micah, Father, and that you will help her be the role model and the mom that you want her to be, Father, just shining your light and just being a powerful vessel in your kingdom. But Abba Father, in all of this, we really, really lift her up to you. We really pray, Father, that you will minister into that place of social anxiety, Father, that you know and that you declare that you don't want her to live like that, Abba Father. You don't want her to be burdened with this, Father, and fearful and anxious when she goes out and is around people and around crowds. Father, I pray for your healing in that place in the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach. And Father, again, that you will just show her where the root is, that you will show her not just the symptoms, Father, but just deeply what happened and what brought her to this moment, what brought her to this place, what brought her to have this anxiety, Father. Show her those things, and so that she can help heal, Father, and be aware, Father, that you are working so deeply in her. We pray that you will seal her up by the precious blood of Messiah Yeshua, and that Abba Father, you will be her God, her portion, her strength, her king, her everything that she needs in every moment of the day. Bless her and keep her, Father, and make your beautiful face to shine upon her. Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we want to pray this evening for Brother Darby and for this aunt, Father, that raised him as a child, Janie. And Father, we want to lift her up to you. And Yahweh, it's always not always easy, Father, because your ways are not our ways, Father. So we want to pray tonight, Yahweh, for total shalom over her life. I want to pray, Father, that as she's now in hospital, Father, for this amputation, Yahweh, that you will just bless her in the name of Yeshua. We also want to pray, Father, that if there is possible cancer, Yahweh, that you will be with her in the name of Yeshua. If it is your will, Father, for her to be healed, we know, Yahweh, that you're the God of the impossible, that you're the God that can do these things, Yahweh. So we want to pray, Father, may your will be done over her life. But I pray too, Father, that you will strengthen Darby and Debbie, Father, during this time. And Father, that they will be a great witness to her in this time. And Father, that through their lives, that you will speak to them, that you will lay words upon their heart, that you will give words of encouragement, Father, to share with this aunt, Yahweh. And Father, that her heart will receive these things, Father, as encouragement that will strengthen her and bless her in this time. We thank you for their lives, Father. We thank you for this aunt. And we ask Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, that everything will be done according to your plan and according to your will. Father, this evening we want to thank you so much for this great time that we had together. And Father, we want to ask that as those that are still celebrating this day, Father, that you will bless them. I pray, Father, that as we begin to count the Omer, as we begin to move forward, Father, into the time where your Spirit is given unto us, Father, that we will introspect and look into our own lives, Father, that we'll take a deep look at who we are, Father, as it says in the book of James, that we will look as if we are looking in a mirror, and that we will see the truth of who we are, Father, through that spiritual mirror, and that you will show us the places in our lives where we might have hurt, where we might have doubts, where we might have things, Yahweh, that hinder us from being totally filled with your Spirit and becoming the people of power and the people of change that you have called us to be in this time. So Yahweh, I pray for that, and I ask, Father, too, that if we are still as a world nation, Father, as people around the world, if we are still under this lockdown, we are still struggling with the coronavirus globally, Father, that your will be done so that we can receive, Father, no matter where we are, I believe that we can receive the fullness of your Spirit, Father, even if we are alone at home. It is a matter of praying and believing, Father, and receiving. And we ask that by faith, and we pray, Yahweh, that things will change globally, that mankind and humankind, Father, will be at a point where they realize that your word is truth, Father, that says if we repent and we turn from our ways, and we acknowledge you as the Messiah of this world, Father, that you will heal this nation and heal this earth. And we ask that, Father, in the name of Yeshua. May your will be done. Bless everybody, Father. Keep them in the perfectness of your heart, Father, and we thank you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It was so good to be with you all on the coffee break this evening. Let us remember each other in prayer this week. Let us be a light and hope wherever we are. Let us continue to check in on people that we love and care for. Please don't forget to do that, because you know what? So many people, you know, I think that we as human beings, we adapt quite quickly. We are adapting to the way that things are, even though days are hard. And sometimes, you know, we are not doing as well as we want to be doing. And some days we are doing better. And so, you know what, let us just continue to check in on one another and check in on your friends and your family, people you love and care for, and just continue to pray for the body of Messiah, that his mission has not ended, his mission is continuing. And so bless you all. Have a wonderful Shavuot Tov. Enjoy this last few days of unleavened bread, and remember that the last day of unleavened bread is a high Sabbath. So enjoy your high Sabbath, and we will see you next week. Have a Shavuot Tov and Shalom Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.